कुंज बिहारी। जय श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की, जय श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की, जय श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की, जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की, शील प्रभुपाद की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 6 वर्स 13। तम त्वाम वयम नाथ समुज्जिहानम सरोज नाभ अतिचिर इप्सित अर्थम दृष्ट्वा गतः निवृत्तम् अद्य सर्वे गजा दवार्ता इव गंगा गंगाम अम्बा। तं त्वां वयं नाथ समुज्जिहानम् सरोजनाभातिचिरेप्सितार्थम् दृष्ट्वा गता निवृतमद्य सर्वे गजादवार्ता इव गांगमभ्यः। तं त्वां वयं नाथ समुज्जिहानम् सरोजनाभातिचिरेप्सितार्थम् दृष्ट्वा गता निवृतमद्य सर्वे गजादवार्ता इव गांगमभ्यः। तं त्वां वयं नाथ समुज्जिहानम् सरोजनाभातिचिरेप्सितार्थम् दृष्ट्वा गता निवृतमद्य सर्वे गजादवार्ता इव गांगमभ्यः। तं त्वां वयं नाथ समुज्जहानम्। सरोजनाभाति चिरेप्सितार्थम् दृष्ट्वा गतानिवृतमद्य सर्वे तं त्वां वयं नाथ समुज्जहानम् सरोजनाभाति चिरेप्सितार्थम् दृष्ट्वा गतानिवृतमद्य सर्वे गजादवार्ता इव गाङ्गमभ्यः तं त्वां वयं नाथ समुज्जहानम् सरोजनाभाति चिरेप्सितार्थम् दृष्ट्वा गतानिवृतमद्य सर्वे गजादवार्ता इव गाङ्गमभ्यः तं त्वां वयं नाथ समुज्जहानम् सरोजनाभाति चिरेप्सितार्थम् दृष्ट्वा निवृतमद्य सर्वे गदादवार्तायुगमभ्यः तं O Lord, Tvam, Your Lordship, Vayam, all of us, Natha, O Master, Samujjhanam, now appearing before us with all glories, Sarojanabha, O Lord, whose navel resembles a lotus flower, or from whose navel grows a lotus flower. Atichira, for an extremely long time. Ipsita, desiring. Artham, for the ultimate goal of life. Drishtva, seeing. Gataha, in our vision. Nivrittam, transcendental happiness. Adya, today. Sarve, all of us. Gajaha, elephants. Davarta, being afflicted in a forest fire. Iva, like Gangam Ambaha, with water from the Ganges. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki cha. Translation: elephants afflicted by a forest fire become very happy when they get water from the Ganges. Similarly, O my Lord, from whose navel grows a lotus flower, since you have now appeared before us, we have become transcendentally happy. By seeing your Lordship, whom we have desired to see for a very long time, we have achieved our ultimate goal in life. Purport: the devotees of the Lord are always very eager to see the Supreme Lord face to face. But they do not demand that the Lord come before them. For a pure devotee considers such a demand to be contrary to devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches this lesson in his Shikshashtakam. आदर्शनाम मर्महताम करोतुवा. द डिवोटी इज ऑलवेज ईगर टू सी द लॉर्ड फेस टू फेस, बट इफ ही इज ब्रोकन हार्टेड बिकॉज ही कैनॉट सी द लॉर्ड इवन लाइफ आफ्टर लाइफ, ही विल नेवर कमांड द लॉर्ड टू अपियर. This is a sign of pure devotion. Therefore, in this verse, we find the word Ati Chira Ipsita Artham, meaning that the devotee aspires for a long, long time to see the Lord. If the Lord, by his own pleasure, appears before the devotee feels extremely happy, as Dhruva Maharaj felt when he personally saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord, he had no desire to ask the Lord for any benediction. Indeed, simply by seeing the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj felt so satisfied that he did not want to ask the Lord for any benediction. Swamim Krutartho Smivaram Nayache. A pure devotee, whether able or unable to see the Lord, always engages in the Lord's devotional service, always hoping that at some time the Lord may be pleased to appear before him so that he can see the Lord face to face. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितां स्वं सजीवं साध्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानंदपादं श्रीचैतन्यईश्वरं. हरे कृष्ण. सो विथ ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल माय सीनियर डिवोटीज लाइक टू स्पीक समथिंग फॉर माय प्यूरिफिकेशन एंड फॉर ग्लोरिफिकेशन ऑफ लॉर्ड. सो टुडेज वर्स ब्यूटिफुली इट एक्सप्लेन्स दैट हाउ when the elephants afflicted by forest fire, they become very happy to get water from the Ganges. Similarly, the demigods are praying that, O Lord, by seeing you, we have felt very happy. So the analogies given in Bhagavatam, they are very meaningful. It's not that for sake of giving, it's given. So here, if we see the elephant, they are very, very powerful. And then they can practically uproot trees, buildings, anything, whatever comes. And that too, if there is a group of elephant, that's like most dangerous, because it's like the strength is multiplied. That's why even when the demon's strength or some devotee's strengths are compared, they are compared Kamsa had strength of 10,000 elephants, So that means, to show, indicate, the elephants are very powerful. But when there is a forest fire, even such elephants, they cannot do anything. They are just trapped in forest fire. So what they look for? either rain or like you know if there is a Ganges nearby in a big river, they'll just go and take shelter of that. So same way in this material world, if we feel like you know we are like elephant, we are all powerful, we have all strength, just wait. Material nature, when the forest fire material nature comes, no one but except you know the merciful shelter of you know Guru and Krishna can save us. That's why every day morning we sing you know samsara dava nalalida loka tranaya karunya ghana ghanatvam. So this material world is compared to forest fire so many places. Reason being, actually it is. This place is not a resort. Material world is not a resort wherein a soul has come to enjoy. Rather, material world is a purificatory, like reformatory place, like a prison, where we have come to purify our tendencies to enjoy separately from Lord. So, here the demigods, like you know, as we know this pastime, wherein Indra was, you know, riding on an elephant, and then Durvasa Muni comes, he offers him a garland, and then Indra, you know, as a Indra, he must be getting, you know, so many garlands, right? We see yesterday, you know, devotees made so beautiful garlands for Prabhupada, for, you know, Kishore Kishori, for the Janmashtami. So nice flowers, nice colors, right? So this is in, like, you know, in this world, in heaven, there must be many different colors of flowers, right? We hear about Parijata flower, it came from heaven. So there must be many, so Indra must be getting so many garlands with so many different flowers. And here comes a sage, and generally for, you know, sadhus, they don't have, you know, such, they might have, you know, some small garland. So he just offered it, you know, as a gesture of blessings. And what Indra did, he took it and, you know, he gave it to elephant. You know. And what elephant did is, you know, anyway, dumb animal. He took it and, you know, threw it on the ground and trample on it. And by seeing that, Durvasa Muni understood that Indra is not grateful. And therefore, what he did, he cursed him. So we may get a question, why, you know, these self-control sages, you know, keep on cursing now and then. You know, we see, you know, Narad Muni also, he cursed Nalkuver Mani Griva, you know, Durvasa Muni also curses so many people actually. The reason is actually they enhance the pastimes. If it was not for Durvasa Muni, how we are known the glories of Ambarish Maharaj? If it was not for Durvasa Muni, how would know the glory of, you know, Draupadi's devotion, wherein Krishna has to come and, you know, accept that leave from his pot. So these great sages actually, whenever like they do something, it's with a, you know, purpose, and it's ultimately for the benefit of this you know whom it is cursing. So it is said any interaction with a devotee is always good. So even if apparently devotee is chastising us, it's good for us only, you know. So then, yeah, what happens then? Demons, they have their messengers everywhere. They come to know Durvasa Muni had chastised Indra, and you know, they were like pack of elephants, very powerful, all the demigods. But then curse of a, you know, sage like Durvasa, they lost all the power and eventually lost all the kingdom. Nothing to gain. And then what happens? Crying babies goes to Lord Brahma. They approach their, you know, guru, ultimate spiritual master. Oh, Brahmaji, please save. And that's the difference between demigods and, you know, demons. The demons, they completely depend on their own strength. But the demigods, sometimes they forget that the strength is coming from Krishna. But then when the difficulties come, they immediately realize, no, it's ultimately, you know, from Krishna. So they go to Brahmaji, and then Brahmaji takes them to the shore of Milk Ocean, and they start praying. And then the prayers are followed when, like, you know, they get this darshan of Lord. And here comes, like, you know, today's verse, wherein they are saying that, you know, as these elephants who are afflicted by the forest fire, they become happy by, you know, entering into the Ganges. Same way, we long to see you, and by seeing you, we are very happy now. So in the purport, Prabhupada so nicely mentions that devotees, they long, they are very, very eager to see the Lord, but they do not demand. Why? Because if we demand something, that means we think I deserve it. And then if we get that, we are not grateful for what we got. Because anyway, I deserved it, So what's big deal, Indra must have, thought for some time. I get so many garlands, one more garland, So what big deal in that? But the problem here is this ungratefulness is not liked by Lord. See, as a person, we all have some likes, right? We like particular sweet, we like particular, somebody is very jovial person, he likes, being happy, somebody is, very, philosophical. So we have our each, individual likes and dislikes. And Krishna is supreme person. So obviously he also has likes and dislikes. So what Krishna likes? He likes humility. And what Krishna doesn't like? He doesn't like ungratefulness. So, therefore, the true devotees, they don't demand. Because they understand that, okay, I am servant of Lord. So as a servant, can I demand that, oh master, I need now your mercy, give me mercy. I want to enjoy this now, give me this. Then we are not servant, we are trying to be master. So, understanding the true nature of an individual, jiva, devotees never try to demand anything. And whatever they get, they are always grateful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays so nicely, Maro bi rakho bi jo ichha tumar nitya dasa prati tu adhikar. That comes in the manasa deho geho jo kichu mora. So here it says that, O Lord, if you want to protect me, maro bi rakho bi, or if you want to kill me, do as you so desire, because I am your eternal servant and you have full control on whatever whatever you want to do with me. So that's why in this, throughout this purport, Prabhupada is mentioning that from devotee's side is very, very eager, when I'll see the Lord. But they don't demand, like the atheist, they say, show me God, then only I'll believe. He says, why I need to see the God? I am supposed to serve, so let me serve, right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur so beautifully he explained that, don't try to see God, but serve him in a way that he wants to see you. So, it sounds so simple and poetic, but it is kind of, essence of philosophy, like, Jivara Swarupa Hoi Krishnaira Nitya Das. So, our eternal position is to serve. And if we give in to this demanding tendency, then we are going against our original nature, and it's actually the disease. And then what happens is that when we start practicing devotional service, initially we are in mood of, humble servant of servant of servant. When we come to temple, we'll even touch the mic and, do like this, Everything is very sacred. But as, years pass by, we become, prabhus, we get, some nice spiritual name, officially added, Das. And then slowly this, demanding tendency, Prabhuji, I am senior among this, Dharti should come first to me. You don't know the etiquette, let me teach you, So this is what, demanding tendencies, So slowly start skipping it. And then we start demanding bigger things. Krishna, mercy, why to that devotee, why not to me? I only preached him. All those, things start peeping in. But that's all against, devotional service. They are like weeds. And then, Lord and all the devotees, they show us by their examples on how we should deal with it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself in this Shikshashtakam, he says like, Ashlishava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahatam kurotuva yatha tathava vidadhatulam pato matprananathastu sevyanaparaha. So Lord, you if you want to command, reveal yourself to me, I'll be very happy. But if you don't want and leave me broken hearted, doesn't matter. My desire is let me serve you birth after birth, unconditionally. So that's what the highest aspiration, devotees look for. And that's why it is called as pure devotional service. We just had Krishna's appearance day, you know, day before yesterday. And then how many years Krishna was in Vrindavan? Doing his so nice pastimes. 11 years, right? Close to 11 years. And then after that, Krishna was on this planet, like doing his Leela for close to 120 years. So remaining 109 years close to, devotees in Vrindavan, they were like dying to get Krishna back, right? Have Krishna come? Apparently not. But they still kept wishing and longing and longing. They never demanded, right? It was just expressing their desire that, oh Lord, you know, please come back. But then, you know, he had his own, you know, leelas to perform at other place, so they did not demand, right? So they just kept serving. So all these devotees throughout their lives, they exhibit this quality of, you know, being grateful and not demanding. There is very excellent pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita. During Mahaprakash Leela, all the devotees were getting mercy from Lord Chaitanya. And then the other devotees, they were very much unhappy because Lord was not calling from Mukunda Dutt, one of his devotees. So devotees were asking, you know, oh Lord, when Mukunda will see you? And Lord said, you know, he will never see me. Actually, he said, like, initially he becomes angry. He said that this Mukunda, when he is not in front of me, he, you know, he stabs me, you know, because he actually used to associate with Mayavadis. Actually, he doesn't used to associate, he just used to listen. So he says, I am very unhappy and he'll never see me. So then they go and they tell Mukunda, you know, somehow Lord is unhappy. And then Mukunda says, you know, will I ever see Lord? Will I ever see Lord? And Lord Chaitanya says, you know, he'll see me after 10 million births. And Mukunda starts dancing. Ecstasy, you know, I'll see, 10 million births, only 10 million births, you know. For us, sometimes if there is difficulty going on, we feel, you know, this year is such and bad for me, you know. Or make it about lifetime and, you know, 10 million lifetimes. And he is happily, you know, dancing. And by seeing his, conviction that, okay, after 10 million lives will just go like that. I'll see finally the Lord. The Lord becomes so happy, he said, you know, bring him, you know, now only itself. So, Mukunda did not say, you know, all of my colleagues got it. Srivas Thakur got, Advaita Acharya got. He did not go there, you know. Advaita Acharya, you know, please go, you know, put a petition from me. I want to see Lord now. No. Sometimes it happens, right, if we don't get some service or something, you know. We go to, you know, whoever is service authority, we go to his seniors, you know, Prabhu, you know, could you please tell, you know, whatever, right? Whatever maybe, you know, something we want, right? We want something. So, but that was not the case with Mukunda. He did not demand. He was grateful. 10 million lives, no issues. I'll wait. That was the patience devotee have, and that's what, like, and then of course the Lord reciprocates. He sees the disposition of our heart, and then Lord said, okay, you know, why 10 million lives, you know, come now only. And then he said, anyway, I was not angry on you, I was just, you know, testing kind of thing. So these pastimes, they are not symbolic, they are actual. Actually, Prabhupada never demanded Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, just humbly went, served him, and then whenever the instruction came, he just, you know, tried best to execute. Even if there was delay, he was preparing for it. So this quality of gratefulness, if we develop, then it's very pleasing to Lord and his devotees. So there are two things. We have to have we have to be very eager to see the Lord, but at the same time we have to be patient. So isn't it contradictory? You know, we have to have, you know, utsahat, nishchayat, and then dhairyat, you know, we have to have patience also. But no, actually not. Because when we start practicing devotional service, we know that eventually if I just keep on following this path, then surely I'll get the Lord. So I may need some, you know, purification for now, but if I just do that, then eventually it'll happen. So how then the next, you know, question for a sadhaka may come that, okay, I have to be grateful, I have to be patient, how can we develop that? So the acharyas, they have given us a way. For example, if we want to go and say, you know, see, you know, Mayapur, or, you know, say Vrindavan, then we have there is too long. Suppose we have to go and see, you know, 22nd Avenue in New York, where Prabhupada started, you know, ISKCON. And we start from Chicago. What we have, we put address in GPS. We start driving. And then it says, you know, go on I-94, take a left, take a right, whatever. You know, it starts giving directions. But the journey is too long, you know, 12, 13, 14 hours. So what happens is that same way, in devotional service, the acharyas, our spiritual master, our seniors, they give us a path. Okay, now you do this, you know, chant 16 round, follow 4 regulative principles, do this sadhana, you know, read Srimad Bhagavatam. And then what will happen? First, you know, they'll, you know, the mission, the Michigan will come, Indiana will come, where, you know, all the states will come, and then eventually you'll reach New York. So same way, the acharya says there is, you know, adho shraddha, that you have initial faith, start practicing, then sadhu sangha, associate with devotees, bhajana kriya, start practicing, you know, do your sadhana, start practicing chanting, then anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti is like that long drive. And then anartha nivritti is always not the, you know, die on highways. It's like, you know, full traffic jam. It looks like, you know, the vehicle is not inching forward. It just stuck there. There's so many anarthas in the heart. They just, you know, it's coming. But if we just keep faith, keep continuing, then eventually, guided by the acharyas, we'll surely see the Lord. But we need not get into this demanding mode. We have to just be grateful, keep practicing, and continue in devotional service. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is also a story of this Avanti Brahman. So this Brahmana, who initially, actually he was very rich, but he was very stingy. He doesn't used to share, you know, his riches with even his family members. So everyone was very upset, and then eventually somehow things happened that, you know, he loses all his wealth, he becomes very miser. And then these relatives, they also don't care for him because, you know, he never cared for them. And then the situation goes so bad that he had to go and beg. And then people were humiliating him, you know, left and right. And that time, this Avanti Brahman gets many nice realizations, and he actually becomes a very nice devotee, and that's why actually his name comes. So he offers nice prayers to Lord, and one of the prayers which he offers is that etam chasthaya paratma nishtha adhyasitam purvamater maharshibhih अहम तरिष्यामि दुरंत पारम तमो मुकुंदांग्रि निशेव एव. He said that, O Lord, etam cha asthaya, I have this, you know, faith, strong faith, conviction, paratma nishtha, you know, very solid faith. That I'll certainly see you. Tamo mukundangri nisheva. I'll certainly see you. Why? Because many sages in the past, they have followed this path of devotional service. They have obtained you. So by seeing them, I have this strong faith that yes, I'll also see you for sure. And this prayer is like kind of so much confidence on Lord that yes, if we just follow this devotional service, then yes, Lord will reciprocate. Why not? And then Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas, he was reciting this prayer while going to Vrindavan, that yes, Lord, I'll certainly see you. I'll certainly see you. So these great devotees, they tell us how to remain grateful, how not to doubt. And then in the purport, this point of, you know, eagerness is also, you know, mentioned, that the devotee is always eager to see the Lord face to face. But what is purpose of seeing Lord? Okay, what if, like, you know, okay, Kishore, Kishore, of course they are here only. So suppose they start, you know, talking with you now. Okay, you know, yes, you know, what you want? What will you do? When we are in front of Lord, what will do? We have to serve him. We have to ask, okay, how can I serve you? That's what the servant does. What you say? How can I serve you, sir? So that's the only question we can ask. So it's not that, okay, we are just, you know, when we go back to spiritual world, we'll just keep seeing Krishna, beautiful fast time. Like, you know, we're sitting in some cinema theater and watching a movie, you know, going on. No. The purpose is going there and serving. So now, if suppose the service is given that, okay, you know, some 10 miles away, there are nice fruits in a garden. You go and pluck. There is no car. You have to walk all the way. And in that process, you may not see me for next 3-4 days. Can we say, you know, the whole purpose of devotional service, I did to see you. Now you are saying, go me and ask, get the fruits. No, whole purpose of devotional service is not to see him. Of course, we are eager to see him, but after seeing, we want to serve him. So if he says that, okay, go there and serve, you have to go there and serve. That's what Prabhupada used to do with many of his disciples. They wanted to be with him, but he says, you know, it's good to be around spiritual master, but he said, you know, the more pleasing is you go and serve what he wants. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he never advised Prabhupada that, okay, you just be around me. He just said, you know, whenever you get money, print books, preach in English language. So, and then Prabhupada has this faith on his instructions, and he was grateful. Therefore, he continued, he never doubted, and success was awaiting. There were other disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who had come to West before Srila Prabhupada. They come to, you know, some went to London, and you know, I think some went to Germany. They tried their best, they come back, and one of them, they said that, you know, Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, your process doesn't work in Western world. So what that showed? He had a doubt. On the contrary, if we read Srila Prabhupada's prayers, Markandeya Bhagavad Gita, what he says is that, O Lord, I have full faith on your holy name. And I know that you must have some purpose. That's why you have brought me here. So, make me dance the way you want me to dance. You know, as a, you know, Kashtaira Puttali Sei Nachao Se Mate Nachao Nachao Se. So, you just, you know, make me dance the way as, you know, the puppeteers dance the puppet. So that was the faith Prabhupada had, and because of that, and he never doubted his instruction. Otherwise, you know, Prabhupada had, you know, list of, you know, 10,000 solid reasons for not doing this, right? First of all, he tried so much, he did not get a, you know, what can I do? I never got a flight ticket. I tried a lot, you know, I give up. Or, okay, fine, I got a, you know, Jalduta ticket, but what can I do? I got 2 heart attacks, let me go back. No. Even after coming here, what can I do? I am in this Butler, Pennsylvania. How can I? There are no people around. No, he went to New York. What can I do here? I am staying here. This person came to kill me. I don't have anything. I am practically on the road with my coals in this winter. Let me go back. No. He ever doubted? He never doubted. That was his faith. And he continued. He was very eager to preach this, share this Krishna consciousness movement, because his spiritual master taught, and he had all good reasons and genuine reasons. Nobody in history would have blamed Prabhupada if he would have said that, you know, I am getting 3rd heart attack, you know, let me, you know, go back, you know, in association of my god brothers back in Vrindavan. Nobody would have even blamed him, right? But why he still continued? Because he had no doubt on instructions of his spiritual master. And because of that, Krishna tested him, and then all success was here. Today, you know, we are happily, you know, celebrating ISKCON 50th. Yesterday, you know, so many nice offerings, and what all Prabhupada did, it is just so amazing. It all, why? Because he had this complete faith, and he just wanted to serve. So, through this pastime, we can take the lesson, first, even if we are as strong as elephant, still, when there is a forest fire, as an elephant cannot have any other way, either than, you know, shower of rain or a, you know, river like Ganges. Similarly, the mercy and grace coming from Lord and his devotees, that is only our hope. This material world already is forest place. And the another beautiful thing is that if we see that in this word, they have used that, they did not say that, you know, lake or something, they have used the word Ganges, right? And what is Mother Ganga? It's actually Charanamrut of Lord, you know, Vamana. And Lord became Trivikrama, and he pierced the universe, the Viraja river, he flowed, and he, you know, washed the lotus feet of Lord and became the Ganges, right? So that means when there is a material misery, the grace of Lord, the and his devotees, that only can give us the relief from this
burning, Davanal. So, Prabhupada again and again in this verse, he's, in this purport, he is mentioning that how we don't have to doubt, we have to be grateful, at the same time, we have to have that very strong desire. Somebody asked Prabhupada, you know, what it takes to go back home, back to spiritual world. Prabhupada gave one word answer. He said, desire. But the desire has to be very, very strong. Rupa Goswami explained, laulyam api ekamulyam. What is the price you have to pay to go back to spiritual world? Laulyam. Eagerness. Api. So only. Mulyam. Price. The only price we need to pay to go back home, back to spiritual world is we want to go. We should have that desire to go, basically. Reason being, when we come to, okay, let us little bit analyze, you know, how we get desires. When we hear about something, when we associate with someone, and if they tell something about, you know, particular thing, then we get desire. Like, you know, we hear about, like, you know, Prabhupada started, you know, 26 Second Avenue, New York. Oh, let me go and see that. But then what happens is that we hear some other things as well. And then we want to do that as well. Because mind's, you know, nature, you know, accepting, rejecting. And then the desire for going to, you know, see 26 Second Avenue, it goes in background. So same way, in devotional service, when we practice, we understand our desire should be, you know, we want to go back home, back to Godhead, we serve nicely. But then there is somebody else also speaking in our mind. Who is that? Maya Devi. She says, okay, while going to New York, there is a nice, you know, theme park. You can just go and see. And maybe you can implement that in your temple so that you can attract many people. You can have, you know, Krishna theme based on that. But when we go to theme park, except Krishna, we, you know, tend to remember everything else. So, this desire, the strong eagerness to serve and eagerness to, you know, see the Lord, so that is the only price we have to pay. And if we analyze technically, that is the only thing we can do. See, we cannot even digest our own food. Sometimes, you know, when there's a lot of big feast, we want to really eat, but then, you know, if I eat little more, you know, my stomach will, you know, start paining. So, we are so insignificant, we cannot even digest our own food. It is by mercy of Lord, he is in the stomach as Vaishvanara, you know, the fire of digestion. Then, what all we can do is just desire. So, why not to purify our desires and increase that eagerness? And then make sure that whatever comes and whatever is hindering in developing that desire, keep it aside. So, if we just do this, we are there, Lord will take care. You know, Lord will, you know, make sure the situations are arranged. Of course, Maya Devi is there to test, but if we just continue, then surely one day we'll reach. You know, so as this, you know, demigods have that faith that, oh Lord, we want to see you face to face, but we'll wait till the time you appear. And then for that, you know, and then another aspect to look at it is that if Indra would not have got this curse, he might have just, you know, defeated the demons and continued ruling over heaven. Where is Lord in picture? Of course, he is doing service to Lord indirectly, but this is, you know, still some, you know, sense gratification process also going on parallel. So the calamity came in his life, and that's why he could see again Lord. So same way, when the calamities come in our life, I know it's very easy to speak sitting here. You know, even in my life, when the calamity comes, it's very difficult. But then we can take those as an opportunity to increase our eagerness, to remind us again and again that this world is like this, you know, forest place. Forest covered with fire, and the only hope I have is if I go back to spiritual world. And then devotees, Srimad Bhagavatam, they show us the path. So in this verse we saw that how even elephants, who are so powerful, and the pack of elephants, they also in trouble when there is forest fire. So same way, every one of us as an individual jiva and as a community, you know, we are actually in trouble in this material world, because actually we are in material world, and the only way we'll be relieved is when we get this, you know, mercy of a devotee, mercy of Lord. And then we have to accept that mercy with gratefulness. If we doubt, if we demand, then that mercy is covered. Krishna is so kind. It is said that we cannot do anything which will upset Krishna. Means he'll never give up on us. You know, this is a hopeless case, because if he does, then there is no way. So Krishna is very merciful that way, you know. But the thing is that when we offend devotees, when we, you know, doubt the process, when we are not grateful, then that mercy is covered for some time. And then, you know, we are sent for a little bit cleansing, you know. And then Maya Devi does her, you know, job thoroughly, you know, by giving, you know, left and right, lashes, yeah. So Krishna is already so merciful. We know the path is so perfect, Prabhupada has given us. So what all we have to do is that just not doubt, be patient, be grateful, not demand. Demanding tendency is what Prabhupada is again. 2-3 times he mentions in the purport that, you know, they don't demand, demigods don't demand. Demigods don't demand to see the Lord. They wait. So same way, in our day-to-day life, if we have, of course, we can express our eagerness to do particular service, but we need not demand. If we like to do, say, you know, I like to go for a bhoga shopping, but you don't know car driving and you want to drive a car and go for bhoga shopping, you will put temple in bigger trouble. So, okay, you express your desire, and then the devotees who know you, they'll eventually make sure, you know, you are engaged in that particular service. But don't demand. That's what, you know, Prabhupada is telling in the purport. And if we do that, if we are grateful, then surely one day we'll see Lord face to face. Devotees say that, you know, one fine morning we'll be in Golok. Till then, we struggle. We struggle with our mind to remind of us again and again these core principles of devotional service, of being gratefulness, being grateful, not doubting, and, you know, developing this intense desire to serve the Lord, basically not to see the Lord, basically to serve the Lord. And when we serve the Lord, of course, naturally, you know, eventually we'll see that. So with this prayer of Avanti Brahman, that we have full faith that if we just keep follow this path, and if we just be patient, if we be grateful, if we don't demand, then surely we'll see, you know, Lord face to face one day, and we'll be able to engage in this service. So with this prayer, I'd like to stop. Any questions, comments? Yes.
You were mentioning how, thank you very much for that very description. So you mentioned one nice point. You were mentioning how to do
it. Yeah.
We see everything as sacred, like you were touching a microphone. And so I kind of meditate on point that usually when devotees bring us Jagannath Prasadam or Govardhan Shila, we see its sacredness. But a lot of times when we're associating with devotees, you know, even though we're connected with the Lord, sometimes we don't see that connection because sometimes we disagree. So I have a question in regards to that point. Some couple pastimes I really appreciated about your point of demanding. The pastime of Narada Muni and Daksha, when they disagree with each other. Daksha and Narada Muni.
Narada Muni
and? Narada Muni. Daksha and Narada Muni.
Daksha, okay.
When Daksha had 10,000 sons in the womb of his wife. And Narada, he said, okay, go populate the universe to his sons. Then Narada disagreed. So he turned his sons into brahmacharis. And so Daksha became infuriated. But then he just had another 1,000 children. And then Narada Muni disagreed again. Yeah. And then Daksha became furious. So my question is related to the point of seeing sacredness even in when devotees disagree. Because the tendency is that, yes, you're sacred as long as you agree with me. And sometimes we demand agreement. I demand just like Daksha. So, and it's described that Daksha start insulting Narada Muni. But Narada Muni still saw the sacredness. So he not only insulted Narada Muni, he cursed him that you'll travel all over the universe. You won't be able to stay in one place. And Narada Muni still saw the sacredness in that circumstance. He's like, oh, really? I'm grateful. and he wasn't demanding. So my question is, how do we maintain this? Because there's going to be disagreement. We're all different devotees. There's going to be disagreements. But how does one maintain that sacredness, that yes, I disagree, but still, you're sacred part of God. Mamai Damso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhutta Sanatana. And even worst case, one other pastime I like to mention in this regard is Indra and Vishnu. He was a priest of both the demons and the demigods, but Indra didn't know that, so he was offering benedictions to both the demons and the demigods. And when Indra found out, although he was a demigod, he acted like a demon. He killed Vishnu. So that's kind of our situation, is that when we disagree with somebody, we either want to kill, we don't say that, but kill their character, or, you know, if we don't have Christian conscience, kill them, like Indra. So how do we maintain that sacredness, which kind of destroys our Christian consciousness?
So just to make sure I understand question correctly, so you mean to say that we see that Narad Muni disagreed with Daksha in the way he wanted the sons to be engaged, and then he did not follow him, but still, like, you know, he saw everything sacred. So how to see, if we want to disagree, then, like, you know, how to see that sacredness in that? Is that correct? Right. So two things. First of all, in case of Narad Muni and Daksha, of course, both wanted to serve Lord. Daksha wanted his sons to populate the universe because that was the order given by Brahma, Lord Brahma, his father. And then Narad Muni made them brahmacharis, and then his purpose was defeated. So there are two things in it. Daksha had a service wherein he wanted to bring so many jivas in here because they wanted to get reformed. Narad Muni's perspective was, now these jivas are here, let them not further entangle, I want to take them back to spiritual world. So from spiritual perspective, Narad Muni's purpose was higher than Daksha's. Of course, it was also coming from Brahmaji, who is, you know, again pure devotee. But ultimately, even say after populating the universe, the end result, like, you know, Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. So after them, they were supposed to go to a forest and perfect their lives. So Narad Muni accelerated that process. No fault on his part, because he was seeing from a higher point of view. Now, in a situation and organization like ISKCON, can we do that? You know, our temple authorities say something, but I have some higher purpose in mind, and can I disagree? Do something good, right? So the even in a smaller case, basically, yeah. So there are two things. When we are in an Narad Muni and Daksha, they are not as a part of a, you know, organization like ISKCON, so to say, because they are, like, you know, operating individually, you know, under Brahmaji. Particularly on our day-to-day life in ISKCON, for the sake of this preaching mission, go very smoothly, even if we have some idea which is better than what our authorities are saying, we have to keep that aside and focus on cooperation. Reason behind is the authorities, they have bird's eye view. Like, you know, I'll give an example of, say, book distribution department. I am in, suppose, book distribution department, and, you know, the authority, he says that, okay, you do distribution in this particular way. And I know that, okay, if I do that particular way, I know, say, for example, I'll sell 100 books a day. But I have a better idea, proven idea, that if I do in some another way, I can distribute 200 books. But then he's kind of little insistent, no, do this in this way. So now, what should I do? As a individual serving devotee, I can express that, you know, dear Prabhu, I have this idea, and I feel that if we do this particular way, like, you know, I want to take, you know, say all brahmacharis and whatever you want to take, and if I do in this particular way, I can distribute more books. What do you feel? And then if he says, no, do the way, you know, I want, I'm seeing you. Put your idea in dustbin and do what he is saying. The reason being, they have bigger picture first thing. They know 10 different things going on, and they may have some other things in mind wherein they want to engage some devotee in some other way, which is more crucial at that particular time. So from our side, we did our part. We expressed our creativeness in disagreeing. And then for the sake of cooperation and for sake of smooth running of institution, we obey what they are saying. So this way what happens is that there are no conflicts in running the organization. Said that, you know, collective unity is better than individual purity. Of course, we have to be pure, don't take in that, you know, literal sense. But then collectively, if we do it in a cooperative way, and that's what even Prabhupada said, if you want to show my love towards me, it's not by, you know, disagreeing, by showing cooperation. So specifically from an organization point of view, we have to make sure we have to agree. So then should it be blind following? I know that, you know, my authorities, you know, they are not following even the basic standards, and you know, they are not following what is coming, you know, from their spiritual master. So should I do it blindly? No. Then go to the one who is above them, who can correct them, and express to them that, you know, I see that this patterns of behavior, which I feel is not appropriate. So I am disagreeing with him. But at the same time, in this situation, if I keep disagreeing, if I keep trying to follow, I am not comfortable, and at the same time I see that things are not going well, so you please correct. So then they will intervene from top. So here are two, did you get this two perspective? One perspective is that when the things, like from the cooperation point of view, we always agree with whatever the service authorities are saying. From another perspective, if we see that authority himself has some problem, then we go to one who is above them, and we express them the concerns so that they can correct it. And if we have so much urge to do something which is different from what they are saying, then kindly take their blessings, take their guidance, and ask them only, like, you know, I have so much of this urge, how I should do that. Then they maybe explain you some more details by which we may, you know, agree again with what they are saying. So does that make sense? So here are both perspectives. First, we agree, even if the ideas are better, still we agree, because from the organization's sake, they have, like, you know, bird's eye view, they know many other things. And second thing, we have right to disagree if it's not in parampara what they are asking us to do. And in that case, we can correct it, you know, by approaching someone, you know, above them. Does that answer?
More or less, I'll like to briefly clarify. So even, not necessarily authorities, but even if you disagree with the word, but I'm talking about like bhaktas, or not necessarily something as grand as disagreeing, just devotees degrees on it. But my question is basically, even if we you know, agree with everything is cooperative, but still internally you're disagreeing, and not only that, you're still committing offenses internally. Okay, I'm doing what you're saying, but I disagree with you, then boom boom, motor ignorance. Still. So yes, externally, that's why Bhaktisiddhanta said real humility is never found in an external show of humility. So yes, devotees may externally do things, but they may disagree, and that disagreement may turn into the mode of ignorance where it becomes, you know.
So, actually,
so how do we maintain that sacredness, yeah, not disagreeing?
Exactly.
And disagreeing?
So it depends on what is the topic, because it's very broad term what you are saying about this thing. I may disagree the way, you know, he wears a dhoti. I may disagree the way he thinks a particular, like I read a purport, I may like a particular point, he may like some other point. And if we evaluate from philosophical level, my point may be of higher dimension than his understanding, you know. Like say for example, okay, so now when the aarti is going on, suppose, you know, it is said that we should not chit-chat or something. But then other devotee who comes, he sees some new people and then he introduces them, you know, these are the deities, they are, you know. So in one sense, if we see the lower principle, he is talking during the aarti, right? But if we see the purpose for which he is doing is to introduce them more nicely to Krishna consciousness. So, one thing is for sure, that if we are very much troubled by some of these disagreements, it better to go and reveal to that devotee that, okay, because of your, like, you know, whatever point or behavior, I'm disagreeing and, you know, I feel, you know, little uncomfortable. But as you said, that We don't have to offend them in any way. So if we are not agreeing, go, express, seek clarification. If still you are like, you know, not comfortable with this situation, take their blessings, go to other, you know, association in that. But make sure that you don't offend them. Because if we offend devotees, it's losing grace. Like we see in this story, like, you know, Indra offended Durvasa Muni. And then, okay, now we have to again say that. Indra might have just seen, okay, you know, yeah, you gave me garland, I'm just, you know, passing out to my elephant. I accepted it, but given it. But, you know, what big deal about it? So, but he lost that factor of, you know, being grateful. So, if we are very much sincere in situation wherein we don't want to offend devotees, at the same time we want to express that we are not comfortable, Krishna will give us intelligence how to approach them and how to reveal. Because on any pretext we cannot say that I can offend devotee because, you know, I disagree or this is a higher philosophical principle. No, we have to keep, you know, we have to make sure we guard against ourselves, you know, against that. So from a, I think just to summarize, I can just say that, you know, from organization standpoint, we cooperate. If we think that something is not going right, we approach the seniors, we ask clarification, you know, how do I understand this, and get it clarified. And if there is some interpersonal disagreements, we go to that devotee, we clarify. And one more thing is, if somehow, if we feel that if I come in contact with devotee, there will be agreement, just keep a respectful distance to save yourself and to save that devotee also from committing offenses. Because yes, there are personality traits every one of us has, and somebody may, there can be some devotee is very jovial, you know, always laughing, you know, jumping around. And there can be some devotee who is, you know, very serious, you know, always like, you know, in deep thoughts and meditative. Now, if they come together, there has to be clash. Now, both are practicing devotional service, but both cannot practice together. So then better, you know, not to come together, just, you know, be in your own. So that's why he said, you know, being with like-minded devotees and then go. So it has to be more of a, you know, kind of balance. We don't have to blind follow also. We have to keep our intelligence on to make sure that, okay, whatever instructions also we are getting, that's in parampara. And at the same time, we don't have to go to other extreme wherein I say that, no, my idea is best, so let me defy everyone else. You know, I'm expert in this. So, you want to add something? Yeah. I hope does that make sense. Yeah.
One thing that can be added is, like in the case of Daksha and Narada, Daksha showed that he was extremely proud, and that was his problem. Both are doing service, as you know, you mentioned. Both of them are, you know, Daksha was assigned a service, and he was he had a very responsible position. And he was, Daksha means expert, so he knew how to do his service, but he was extremely proud. That pastime shows that. On the contrary, Narada also has a service, you know, but Narada has absolutely no pride. So when it came the time of a conflict of how to engage all these sons of Daksha, then the way Daksha reacted was according to his pride. And the fact that we cannot do devotional service when we have that blockage. Pride doesn't work with devotional service. The principle to perform devotional service consistently is that one have to cultivate humility and tolerance and respect and devoid of all sense of all prestige type of thing. And Daksha had all the opposite thing. He was very much absorbed in the prestige of his position, and he was not humble, he was very proud, and he had very little tolerance because of that pride. So his response to Narada was, you know, when he exploded after the second time, you have no absolute, no clue of what, you know, Dharma, religion means. And in fact, you're not a saintly person. I'm a saintly person, you know, because I perform all these sacrifices, I do all the things, I know all the and blah, blah, blah. So he just went down on Narada like that. So if we have a problem in terms of the dealings with devotees, in terms of disagreement, most likely it just is a flag that comes that there is something in ourselves that is not aligning with the you know, pure devotional service. That something that we have to try to understand inside. So it's a symptom to have a conflict, and if we start to, you know, sort of like dig our heels, you know, and be like, you know, well, you know, like that, what to speak if you go as far as making offenses, as you mentioned. But even just to be, you know, like, what, you know, this is nonsense type of thing, that shows that, you know, we have to review something. And the process, you know, even if we go to the authorities, but we're still holding to, you know, our, you know, sense of righteousness, you know, we have to approach, we have to cultivate humility, tolerance, and like that. That's at the heart of our life of devotional service. And if that's, if we feel that we have to, you know, assert ourselves with that, you know, to make sure that my way is sort of put in place, you know, then there is something that we have to correct. So it's a very important principle.
Yeah, thank you for
that. Cooperation.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Anything else? Okay, that, thank you, Prabhu, for adding. With that, I'd like to stop. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.